Weekends on the Fanatic. Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Sports never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
This is a good show to wake and bake to.
Damn right it is. You think you're excited? Feel these nipples. Bake your Easter hams. Am I right? Yes. Do I have to wait?
Yeah, I need to update. No, you don't have to wait. I need to update.
Well, no, I got an idea. I just have been very lazy the last couple of weeks, you know, with COVID.
Well, you weren't in the studio for like a month.
Yeah. So eventually I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Oh, the music just started. Hey, good Sunday morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas alongside the great Jamie Lynch, Dylan McKinnon behind the glass producing the show as always. And what an awesome, awesome Saturday of sports yesterday.
It was great.
I mean, it was just absolutely perfect, aside for the Flyers. But it was just absolutely perfect to the hockey team that lost yet again. And they put out a tweet saying, at least we got the all-important point.
On, guys.
Now, listen, they are still in the run.
Read the room a little bit.
Exactly. Like, when things are going as poorly as they are, don't give me all-important point.
Yeah.
Okay?
Not when the Sixers and Phillies and Final Four is going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's worried about your point right now.
Exactly. Screw your point. Unless it helps out in the long run. But yeah, an absolute awesome day yesterday. The Phillies getting another win, starting off the season 2-0, beating the Braves yesterday. Zach Wheeler, the ace of the staff, absolute beast yesterday with the stick in his hands too, Jamie. How about a couple of ribbies for Wheels?
Apparently, Zach Eflin after the game said he's difficult to throw batting practice to. Like, he's a good hitter.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Well, Eflin said so. I wonder, listen, I don't know every single moment of Phillies history.
Sure.
I wonder if he gave up a hit to him when he was in New York.
Maybe a home run
or something. Who knows?
And I have an amazing Philly stat later that I'll throw out.
Oh, I can't wait for an amazing stat. Tell us what time so we can tease the audience.
How about we just don't tease them and we give it right now?
Okay.
I mean,
show's over. What do you got?
So this is courtesy of Bob Wankel from Crossing Broad. He says, this is amazing, but true. With yesterday's scoreless appearance, the Phillies bullpen matched its number of consecutive scoreless appearances from all of last season.
They were so bad last year.
So there's a reason for the Phillies' excitement.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. The bullpen so far, we can get into some bullpen talk from yesterday and even the first game, because I know people are still, for some reason, questioning Joe Girardi pulling out Nola and then Wheeler in those specific spots, but...
Look, it's early.
It's early, but we can't let, and I see so many tweets, oh my God, the bullpen. We can't let last year make us, you know, expect or feel certain ways this year, because it's a totally different bullpen. Look at it. I mean, your first two guys out of the pen right now are Archie Bradley and Jose Alvarado. Alvarado, you want to talk about stats? I read this one on Friday. So Alvarado in his first game on Thursday, threw two pitches that made at least 100 miles per hour, right?
But let me guess, that happened 8 times all of last year.
No, zero.
Oh, zero. Oh, so, wow. I was being generous.
So they started doing the pitch tracking era in 2008 in terms of velocity, right? So we know Billy Wagner was throwing 100 miles per hour in 06.
Phillies typically don't like those flamethrowers.
But this was from Sarah Langs, who used to do great stuff with ESPN. She still does some, she always tweets out stats. But Alvarado had those two 100-plus mile-per-hour fastballs. The last time we saw a 100-plus mile-per-hour fastball was Sir Anthony Dominguez in 2018.
Oh, my God.
Before that was Ken Giles in 2015.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're going like 3 and 4 year gaps of flamethrowers
out of the bullpen, where you look at some teams, there's 5 guys doing it. You know what I mean? Like, you look at some of these teams, you go, oh, wow, we finally woke up.
Yeah.
And it only took Matt Klentak getting kicked to the curb.
What's the fastest you've seen in a box?
Me?
Yeah. Or in a cage, I should say.
I don't know. Some guy was...
90s?
No. Some guy was mid like 85, 86.
Okay.
It wasn't even a high school game. It was in high school, but a fall ball game.
Okay.
And I got a hit, but you know why?
You just throw your bat at the zone.
I had a 30-inch bat in my bag that looked like a freaking toothpick. Because, you know, everybody else uses 32, 33. I was like, well, I'm not going to hit this guy, so let me just try this.
Huh.
It was nice.
Nice.
Closed my eyes when I did it. I was going to say,
we talked about it last week on the morning show. I stood in an 85-mile-an-hour cage once just to see.
Oh, what, like the machine pitch?
Yeah. And I crapped myself.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I can't imagine what 100-mile-an-hour looks like coming at you.
We had one kid who pitched at my high school, and he went to UNC. And so I had to catch his bullpen when I was a freshman. Now think about this. A freshman, he was a junior that year.
Throwing 90?
I think he touched 90. I don't know exactly. But he was also throwing like a splitter.
Jeez.
So I'm a freshman going from candy arms in eighth grade to, hey, can you catch Shane's bullpen?
Did he end up playing any minor league or anything?
He got hurt. Which sucked. But yeah, I know, in college. But story for another day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so far the Phillies 2-0 to start the season.
Fun.
Game 3 of the series today against the Atlanta Braves.
Which you're going to?
Which I'm going to.
First sporting event in over a year.
Yep. I'm
it's pretty excited.
I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And we'll get into the Sixers, I'm sure, but I had some jealousy of people in the house last night.
Yeah, I mean, well, John Kincaid.
Yeah, John took his daughter
Olivia, right?
It looked like a really fun time.
Yeah, I mean, Joel Embiid coming out for warm-ups, and there's, I'm not really all that well in the hip-hop rap game, but every time he comes out, a specific song plays, and the crowd started going nuts, and he was pumping up the crowd as always, and that game last night, I put out a tweet, just the hashtag, here they come, with the Ben emojis, the smoke coming out the nose. And there's always the one J.O., right? And the guy responds, they're beating the terrible Wolves, relax. And I'm like, it's not just that. It was third quarter when they went on that, 14-2 run.
Yeah.
Like, that was pure great basketball, where everyone contributed. They played incredible defense. Yes, the Wolves suck. They're terrible. All they have is Karl Anthony Towns, and he dunked on Joel Embiid. And we'll get into that at some point today, too, because somebody was liking the dunks on Embiid.
Oh, I didn't see that.
A former Sixer.
He's now
too old to play.
I did see this. Yes.
I hate him.
Yeah, what a Richard.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of him, Al Horford.
Yeah, that's not a good look, dude.
Yeah, why are you liking the posts? Like, multiple. It wasn't just one. There's multiple posts.
That's weird.
And I scrolled through his likes, thinking, all right, maybe he just likes a lot of NBA stuff. Highlights. No. It's all Al Horford appreciation tweets, and then those two dunks from Kat on Embiid.
So he blames his time here on Embiid?
Or maybe he just hates the Sixers.
Huh.
Interesting. Don't know.
He probably hates us, the fan base.
Maybe. Somebody posted a photo. I didn't know this. Remember when they got in the fight with the T-Wolves last year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The only person to stand outside of it.
He pulled the Deshaun Jackson. Remember when Deshaun was on Washington and the Eagles got in a fight? He stood to the side because he had nobody's back? Yeah. Come on, Al Horford.
Yeah.
But overall, awesome day yesterday. You had the Phillies winning. You had the Sixers winning. And then you had Gonzaga. I mean,
Incredible.
Is that one of the greatest finishes to a game you've ever seen?
I mean,
Villanova out of it, because we obviously
have. I was going to say that I think the biggest three shots in NCAA history is Chris Jenkins, Christian Laettner, and possibly that.
I mean, the game was tied, right?
Yeah, so, 3 seconds. Or was it 4.3, I think, when they inbounded it?
I think it was three.
Or it might have been three.
And then he just pulled up right past midcourt.
Jeez.
And just banks it in.
Oh, man.
And then Nance and Raftery are going nuts.
Yeah, Raft's the best.
Yeah.
I love Raft.
You like the onions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're not an onions man?
No, my only thing is, let Nance do the call.
I'd have to hear last night's again. Did he jump on him right away?
Always. listen, he's great. The onions and all that stuff, but let him finish the call.
He's got a joy for the game.
But then again, him and Nance probably have some rapport going back to, I don't know, when did they start doing games together?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, whatever.
You want to dig into the Google and find that out?
No, I don't really care about Jim Nance and Bill Raftery's relationship. But yeah, so absolute incredible day in Philadelphia sports yesterday. And it's one of those times now where, I don't know, shouldn't we just celebrate what's going on right now?
Yes.
Like, I get,
I know it was minus only, the Flyers.
I know it was only one tweet yesterday, but it's just the Wolves. Leave it alone. Like, no, like last night was a celebratory day because he had the Phillies win earlier. Zach Wheeler was a stud. The Phillies are 2-0. A lot of people, I know people think the Phillies are going to hit the over and wins, but there's that sense that, yeah, they'll probably be shy of the playoffs. Like, why are we saying that now? I'm saying they should be in the running come September.
I think they can play with anyone.
Well, right. So yeah. Why is there such a sense? And there is a big sense of, yeah, they'll be fun this year, but they're not going to make the playoffs.
I mean, I guess just because
can we go story unwritten?
The NL East is so loaded that you have...
Yeah, you're 2-0 against the NL East.
I know,
so far.
But like, there's three teams that have some of the best odds to win the World Series in all of baseball, so I guess there's hesitation and respect for the division there. But like I was saying for the last 2 weeks leading up to the season, the Mets, like, I'm not crowning the Mets because they got Francisco Lindor.
Right. Well,
they're better.
They got Carrasco in the rotation. Yeah. Their biggest problem is they can never stay healthy, that rotation.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. If they stay healthy, it's scary because they do have Syndergaard. They have DeGrom, obviously.
Sure.
They have Carrasco now. They have Stroman. Like, they have a good rotation.
They do.
Right? But these guys don't stay healthy, which has been their biggest downfall. And all of a sudden, you know.
Could be the Phillies' downfall, too. If any of these guys... in the rotation get hurt.
Right, because we still have to wonder who is Matt Moore and who's Chase Anderson, right? Like, they're obviously better than Pivetta and Velasquez.
Yes.
In recent years.
Yes. And they're professionals and they know how to pitch and yada, yada, yada.
I mean,
all
they're
that.
Better than Jason Vargas. They're better than Smiley.
Jason Vargas. Oh, yeah. My God. I forgot about that.
He was a midseason acquisition where the Phillies got paid to take him.
Yeah.
So, like, and that's what Klentak did. And that's what McPhail did. The if we do, we do. We don't, we don't. This year, you have three guys in the start of your rotation where you feel pretty good about. Right? I'm not going to say any of these guys are elite. I mean, Wheeler looked elite yesterday.
I mean, I don't know. You know, it's interesting. Nola, I did two fantasy baseballs, and, you know, that's not. But he was taken, like, shockingly early. And Fangraphs had him as, I think, the 9th best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, I remember. Wait, really?
Yeah.
I know they had the Phillies rotation top 10.
Yeah, I believe Nola. I believe Nola was 9th. My buddy texted me that. I'll have to confirm it. But, and he knows his baseball, so it's not like I don't trust him.
Right.
I don't know. It's like Nola.
I like him. I think he's a good pitcher.
He is. There's no doubt about that. But how elite he is, I don't know if we know.
Like, I had a guy tweeting me during opening day, and Nola was flawless the first five.
He was, yeah.
Right? And the guy tweets
made one mistake pitch.
Do you still think he sucks? And I was like, I never said he sucks, first of all. I think he's just a 1A, 1B, right? Like, I think it's between him and Wheeler. I don't even think Wheeler is a legitimate ace of a staff, especially if you look at the NL East, right? You got DeGrom and you got Scherzer. Would you put Wheeler or Nola up against those guys? No.
No.
You'd say they'd be good twos in that rotation in Washington and New York, but they're not the prototypical ace. But you have to name somebody your opening day starter. You have to name somebody your second starter. And then sure enough, Nola ends up having a tough sixth inning where he gets out of it thanks to Alec Boehm. And then the seventh inning, he gives up the two-run shot.
Yeah.
But if I told you...
And he just missed the spot on that because it's opening day and his arm is probably shot.
Egregiously, he missed it, but yeah.
Yeah.
But if I told you, hey, your opening day starter went 6 2/3, struck out 6, only gave up 2 runs.
Or against the Braves.
You'd go, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I'll take that.
Especially when I know on paper, the bullpen is far better this year. It's not like you're going to Cole Irvin, and then you're going to Adam Morgan, and then you're going to Edibre Ramos and all these
Cole
other guys.
Cole Irvin was a guy I never wanted to see pitch for the Phillies.
He lost yesterday. He's a starting pitcher, again, for the Athletics.
Really?
Who aren't...
Yeah, they usually kind of find little,
He's their number three in the rotation.
What?
You know how he did yesterday? 4 1/3, 7 hits, 4 earned. They lost 9-1.
Athletics, huh? That seems like a very unathletics move.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, Cole Irvin's still not good. Doesn't matter if he's in Philly or Oakland.
But yeah.
He was a guy that the Phillies tried saying was going to be a big part of the future. Think about it. Right? Oh, well, Cole Irvin, first lefty since Cole Hamels, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, all right, well, he still stinks.
Yeah.
So does Ranger Suarez.
So, real quick, I have it up. The Fangraphs, you know, pitchers by rank.
Mm-hmm.
They have Nola 12th, Wheeler 14th.
In all of baseball?
This was last year, I believe. Yeah.
Really? Based off their numbers?
I have to find what it's ranked by here. I think this is going by their war and their FIP. I don't know. We'll dive deep.
But the only FIP I know is Dave FIP.
I'm just saying. I think I don't want to say we underappreciate, but we don't overlove. It's weird because Nola and Wheeler are very good.
Yeah, they both of them.
But both of them aren't perceived as.
Well, am I wrong?
Dominant.
Am I wrong in saying
no?
They would both be number twos.
No, not at all.
With an ace on the staff, because they're not aces.
But they're so damn close.
They are close. But they.
It's interesting.
Nola's come up small in big spots.
He's got to come up. He's got a lot of September issues to
answer. Wheeler has had injury history.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can't.
Wheeler's not his stuff or his performance. It's just. It's mostly been injuries that have kind of held him back.
Exactly.
It's weird because they're very, very good, and I'm excited for these two this year.
I am too. And then Eflin, I like Eflin.
Eflin has to answer.
He gets a lot of hate.
He was ending last year. He had a 12K per nine rate towards the end of last year, which is really good.
Incredible.
So he was, you know, I feel like he was a guy that was just battered by the bullpen last year.
Yeah, he had that.
He has his spots where he blows up.
His other issue, and it was weird, in 2019 now, I can't take anything Gabe Kapler says, really, because he's a lunatic. But I remember Gabe Kapler said that Zach Eflin was feeling heavy, like, after his first, like, seven or eight starts. Now, I imagine that means his body was just worn down.
He's had a bad back his whole career.
So you have to go, all right, is this a guy that will be your dependable number three for a full season?
Mm.
And that's another question mark. Is he a guy that you're going to have to take, you're going to have to skip a couple of his starts? Or you have to do load management with Zach Eflin? Because when he's on, he's not bad.
No. And
he's been one of your more consistent pitchers in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, he has been. But he's been consistently not quite there.
Yeah, I don't think he's a three.
He hasn't been yet, but he could be if he strings it all together.
Okay, when is that going to happen?
Well, I think this is the year you'll know what he is.
Okay.
If he does another season of what he's done, I think you can kind of say, all right, he's a back end of the rotation guy. If he ends this season on the way he was last year and gets to like maybe that 13-14 win zone, then you can start going, all right, well, maybe this guy's a real number three.
Yeah, I mean, I think his over-under this year was 10.5 wins.
Yeah.
And I like the over in that.
I said you need 12 wins from him.
Yeah, so I like the over for 10.5 wins for Zach Eflin.
Let's see. I'm excited to see him today.
Or it'll be disappointing because that's your number three in the rotation, right? So if he's not over 10.5 wins, he's probably under 500.
Yeah.
And if your number three is under 500, you have a tough chance trying to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, he's pivotal to the playoff success.
Yeah.
He really is. And he's up against Ian Anderson today, who is phenomenal and was taking three spots after Mickey Moniak. Little nugget.
I know.
Doesn't bother me at all.
It does. It should. So Craig tweets it. Would you rather have an ace and a mediocre two or Nolan Wheeler?
It's a good question.
I mean, I'd rather have Nolan Wheeler because they're not... Like, what's mediocre? Like, okay, DeGrom, who you know is going to give you a win.
Yeah. Would you rather have Shane Bieber and Zach Eflin or...
But is Drew Smiley your number two?
Yeah.
Right? Like, then you go, all right, well, that means 3, 4, 5 are also terrible.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'd rather have the two.
I'd rather have the two.
Nolan Wheeler.
Because it's all about stopping streaks in Major League Baseball.
Exactly.
And how... I'd rather have a strong five than a dominant three?
No, I'd rather dominant three.
Three. Yeah, then a dominant two and a bunch of scrubs.
All right, makes sense
for the season. We'll see. Spencer Howard is a big question mark. Probably see him around the All-Star break. I'm hoping.
Yeah, but are they going to let him go, or are they just going to let him pitch two innings like Girardi or like Dombrowski said?
Manage two of our pitchers already.
Yeah, that's
in Eflin and Howard. Oh,
listen,
great.
We should be celebrating tonight. We should not be. You know, falling apart and all upset and saying, wow, Howard can only pitch two innings. Eflin could suck. No, today's a celebratory day because the Phillies start the season 2-0. They're looking to sweep the series with the Braves today. The Sixers, I get it. It was just the T-Wolves. But my God, was it great to see Embiid back on the court. And I know he was falling down a lot, and it looked like he wasn't 100%, obviously. And he was playing with a brace, which he did not like. He talked about it after the game that he felt like he couldn't do as much as what he normally does with the brace off. So the brace was on, but that's okay. Keep the damn brace on. Give it a few weeks. Get back to your 100% strength.
If that's him with the brace at 24 points.
Yeah, I'm still taking that.
That's fine.
Especially with Karl Anthony Towns, who I know we like to joke around about. He's still a decent ball player.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you went up against Kat, who obviously had a little bit more energy yesterday, too, because of what happened last year. So it's a good day today.
Back in first place, tied with the Nets.
Yeah. I feel like there's not enough positivity right now. And I think it's because the Eagles are bringing everybody down.
Yeah.
The Flyers are a mess.
Well, half the teams in town are kind of a mess, and then half.
So you know what? Put your energy in the two teams that are making you feel good.
Yeah.
Even though there's still Sixers concern for people.
Sure. I can't wait to watch the Phillies today.
I know.
And that's,
I'm pumped.
That's just great to say.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be relevant this summer. When you're not busy, you have Phillies baseball on all summer long.
Yeah, it's nice. Six days a week.
610-632-0975. He's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas. We're going to have some fun today, and we're going to be positive, believe it or not. Oh, you guys always are complaining on Philly Sports Radio. No, that's not true. It's good right now. What's there to complain about?
Teams.
Yeah, we'll probably complain about something on the other side. 610-632-0975. He's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
Weekends on The Fanatic. Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Sports never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
10:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas alongside Jamie Lynch, Dill McKinnon producing the show today. You can climb in at 610-632-0975.
I got a text from my brother-in-law. He said, out on any trade that would involve Jordan Mailata. I am too. We were just discussing possibilities.
Well, I'm just wondering
scenarios.
Like, because you're not going to move Lane Johnson, right?
So after you just restructured with
him. If you get an offensive tackle in the draft, I don't want to do the, hey, why don't you sit a year and watch
the
picture? No, I want him to play.
And Mailata's earned the right to play. Lane obviously has the right
thing.
To play.
So Mailata could be your.
Where is Andre Dillard?
He could be out.
He might be another draft day trade. They might get a bag of footballs for him.
Maybe. He was hurt all last
year. Did they trade up to get Dillard? Didn't they?
Wasn't that a Houston situation?
Yeah. Why am I?
Didn't they jump Houston?
Yeah, they jumped Houston to go get him, right?
Because they took Brooks from Houston.
Yes.
I remember you talking about how we're never going to trade with Houston.
I think they did trade up to
Howie's
like.
Fleeced them twice.
Wasn't it like 17 or something? I don't know.
Something like that.
It's a long time ago.
So Greg Miller tweets in the latest
2019 draft.
The latest McShay.
It was pick 22.
Mock. Oh, is it? Okay.
So yeah, you're not going to get much for him. That could be a disaster.
Here's the latest McShay mock draft, which I think they're all bogus because they just have to get clicks until draft day happens. So I don't really buy anything that these guys put out, if I'm being real.
Yeah, but they don't change that crazily in the top five or six, do they? I would think they're fairly consistent with the top of, because they want to be right, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I hear you on the clicks.
So here's McShay's latest mock draft. Trevor Lawrence, lock 1, Zach Wilson 2. Mac Jones 3 to San Fran.
Huh.
Kyle Pitts 4 to Atlanta. Lock him up with Matt Ryan.
And Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley.
That's kind of scary. As long as Matt Ryan can complete a few passes and the defense.
That would
terrible.
Be filthy.
Cincinnati takes Ja'Marr Chase at 5. At 6, so Miami goes receiver Devontae Smith.
Justin Fields is still on the board. And Trey Lance is still on the board by 7.
Yes. So now we have the projected trade-ups, which is why this is all bogus, because he does,
But if that was to happen, if you're the Eagles,
right,
would you consider it?
What?
Say Fields and Lance are there at 7 and 8, and Detroit and Carolina go, yeah, we don't, our picks just became a lot more valuable because teams need quarterbacks. Obviously, Carolina would be in a good spot there because they would get one of those two guys. But if you're Detroit, you might, your number 7 pick just became worth its weight in gold.
So they had, he has a projected trade.
So do you consider trading up to 7 to go get Justin Fields in this scenario?
No.
Okay.
For the Eagles?
No. Yeah?
No. No.
Because I like Jalen Hurts, but Justin Fields is a better prospect.
I'm not drafting any quarterbacks. So he has the Panthers swapping picks with the Lions. So the Panthers would get, or the Lions would get something from Carolina.
But why would...
Because other teams are probably calling for that.
Okay.
Like you just said, that 7th pick is pretty valuable.
But if... But, yeah, all right.
So the Panthers trade up from 8 to 7, and they take Trey Lance. The Lions just move back from 7 to 8. They take Jalen Waddle at receiver.
Justin Fields is still on the board at 9?
Uh-huh. All right, Denver Broncos.
Well, they would have to take him.
Patrick Surtain.
Oh, come on.
This is why they're bogus!
Justin Fields is not going to be on the board at pick 10.
Denver's not going to not take a quarterback.
Yes, they're not. To him. Especially Justin Fields.
Dallas Cowboys 10. They take J.C. Horn because Surtain's off the board.
Ooh.
11. The Patriots trade up and take Justin Fields.
That would be pretty exciting for them.
Yeah, that I don't would make think sense. That's realistic. No, that would make sense for them, but I don't think that's happening.
No, Justin Fields isn't going to be on the board by 11.
And then he has the Eagles taking Parsons at 12. Which I know you would run around celebrating.
In between the lines, the kid's an absolute monster.
Off the field.
He's got some baggage with him.
Yes. But Parsons to the Eagles at 12. But all that other stuff, like...
Yeah, it's not likely.
This is why I go, all right.
All right. Todd. Yeah,
like, I go, all right, dude. Yeah, you know what you're talking about. Obviously, he knows these players.
But he wants the Patriots Nation to start sharing that around.
Denver's not taking
Denver.
They're not riding with Drew Locke. Yeah. Like, come on now. Let's be real.
Yeah.
In 5 minutes, we've got the weekend news dump. Let's go back to the phones, talk to Quaz in Philly. What's going on, Quaz?
What's up, fellas? Draft day talk is like a dog whistle.
It's gonna be fun, Quaz. I think they got something up their sleeve.
I think they might go chalk and try to play it safe this year. I don't know if they got to do too much more crazy stuff, but I wanted to address something that Chunas was saying because I'm the guy who thinks Alex Singleton is a real player. Okay. and I knew what you was doing. Okay, no problem. All I'm saying is just listen to me. Hear me out on this.
Uh-huh.
If you did this one exercise, you would probably look at it differently. If you took the last 8 games, the games that he started, and you match him up with Devin White, Tremont Edmonds, and Patrick Queen, after you do that work, or anybody in your studio did that work, y'all would be saying, wait, hold on, let's see what we have here. Because I'm telling you, he averaged like 10 solos a game, man. So, I mean, but that's not the nature of my call, but I do want to put that out
but
there.
But do you really think Alex Singleton is Patrick Queen? Or Devin White?
I believe stats. When y'all tell me I can't believe tackling stats for a linebacker, that's where we have a disconnect. But we had a disconnect last year when I told y'all Justin Jefferson was a volume receiver. Y'all kept telling me, no, he's a slot guy. You remember that?
No.
Oh, my God. Now you don't remember. Y'all was talking me down all year long. I wanted
Jefferson over Rager.
You and it was on Ruggs. Y'all was steady.
Well, no,
on Ruggs.
I wanted Ruggs, but right, he went early. But I said Jefferson. Jamie and I did the damn show together. I wanted Jefferson over Rager.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying.
Now listen, did I think Justin Jefferson was going to break Randy Moss's record his rookie year? Hell no, I did not think that.
I did. He was a volume guy over there. He did it all. But I mean, that's neither here nor there.
And Jamar Chase made him look like a child, Quaz.
What's that?
I said Jamar Chase made him look like a child on LSU.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah. That's why I know Burrow is getting Chase. I know that. That was the best connection in college football. I don't care who the tackle name is. For that opportunity to have the best connection, you see Chase with T. Higgins? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that would be nasty.
Then you get your tackle. They cool. I'm telling you, Chase is going right there. But I said that a couple weeks ago before Tom and Shea said it. So y'all ready for pick number 38?
Sure. Here you go.
With the pick number 38 in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Asante Samuels Jr.
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about that at all.
That's assuming that's assuming they don't take one in the first round. Yeah,
my comp for him would be Eric Allen. That he has a nose for the ball, and he does put his nose in there. He can play CB2 immediately, and in the future could bump up to a CB1. But
once Slay's out, right? So maybe that's in a couple of years.
Plus, we would get Asante tweeting about the Eagles, which would be entertaining.
Oh, that'd be fantastic, Quas. Thanks for the call, man. I mean,
a lot of Eagles Twitter is in love with Asante Samuel Jr.
He's going to be right around there.
Ask you a question.
Did they actually watch him play in college?
And do we just love him because he's Asante Samuel Jr.?
Yes and no.
He's a talented player.
Yeah, like he's a talented player, but sure, it's pretty cool. Like if you get one of...
Right, but I'm just asking, is it, oh my God, you better draft Asante Samuel?
Quas
knows what the hell he's talking about. Maybe not with Alex Singleton, but he knows what the hell he's talking about.
Trey liked him, talking to our old friend Trey, because he was a Florida State Seminole. Okay, so Trey was, watching the Florida State games. He thought he was a good player, but yeah, it's definitely part of the nostalgia of pick six, Asante Samuel. But he's a good player. I wouldn't hate that pick at all.
No.
If he was there at 38.
No, of course not. No, it would be a good pick. I'm just wondering if a lot of people only like
and there's
him
another really there's is. Another linebacker at their other what is it? Pick 72? 70? 71?
Whatever
the hell it is. Jabril Cox, linebacker from LSU. That's a guy I got circled on my list. Just please get a linebacker.
I bit my tongue.
Oh, come on, Andrew.
I was just thinking.
You'd have double Cox penetration in the middle of your field. I mean, if you have that opportunity to stack Coxes in the box.
Sunday is trending right now on Twitter.
I mean, you can stack Cox on the line with a Cox in linebacker. I mean, not many teams in the NFL can do that, Andrew. That's a lot of talent, man. That's SEC talent right there.
See, the reason why you could say it. You got a bigger resume than I do so far in this industry, so you go for it.
I don't know. I wasn't on that guy's email list. But look, I think they need to load up on defense.
Oh, my God.
I think that's the biggest problem by far. And they need a cornerback.
Yes.
And if it's Asante Samuel Jr., I'm ready. Yes. Andre Sisco's another guy I like. Safety. Like, you have so many holes. Just take a bunch of defensive guys and hope for the best.
You can fill those holes. Oh, my God. All right. I gotta get out of this.
Hey, the Masters start next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Are you going to get in Bob's pool?
Sure. I don't know anything about these golfers.
You just pick head-to-head. It's fun.
Spieth says it's going to be a different Masters for him.
Why?
I don't know.
He's been locked in lately, so yeah. Maybe.
No, he's going to lose. I have a random sports injury thing I'm going to get to coming up at 11 o'clock. But we got the weekend news dump first, man. What do you got, bro? This is the first time we're doing it on a Sunday morning.
Yes. So the way we're going to do it now is whoever is not driving the show is going to handle the news dump.
Yeah, and I'm driving the show 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, it's probably
bad
why.
Bad work by me.
Probably why I felt like I could have those extra couple beers late night when Suggs was hitting the game winner.
Yeah, you and I are both playing hurt today.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens.
That's all right, man.
You know, Easter egg hunt's better with a double IPA.
I just
in your
came up a little bit.
Jeez. It's not a way to start a news dump off. So, are you you remember Catch Me Outside, girl?
Okay, the
girl that was on Dr. Phil. Catch Me Outside. How about that?
Yeah.
That girl. So she has become a her stage name here. Hold on, is her real name is Danielle Brigoli, okay. But she's known as Bod Body. Excuse me if I'm not pronouncing that right.
That's her.
That's her.
Isn't it just bad? Baby, but just
bad baby. That's what it is. But there's H's in there. All right, yeah. Look, I'm not used to reading.
I love that
misspelled
Bobby.
Bob Bobby. Bad baby. That's so dumb.
Yeah.
So she just broke a record. She joined OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And in 6 hours,
yeah,
made $1 million. 6 hours. Bad baby.
a millionaire in 6 hours from spreading her cheeks on OnlyFans.
So, I just like to always point this out. There are avenues where you can watch things for free.
Can you? With the OnlyFans?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying other avenues.
Oh, like Pat Egan's lobster tube and stuff?
Like, did you have to pay money to see Bad Baby?
If you really like Bad Baby, I mean, I guess I can see why somebody would do that.
Like, if we're being real, there's avenues.
Sure.
For free, where there's a lot of bad babies.
But it's not
there.
Bad Baby. I have a buddy that has paid for OnlyFans. Who's not in this market, so I feel safe telling this story.
Okay.
And I asked him, I was like, is it worth it? Like, do you find your money is being well spent? And he said, oh, God, no.
That's what I'm saying.
He said it's awkward and weird, and he doesn't enjoy it, but he still has a membership. So he must like it to some degree.
All I'm saying is there are avenues.
So you're not paying for Bad Baby.
I'm not paying for squat.
A millionaire in 6 hours.
Yeah, listen, hey, good for her.
That's incredible. So
she seems like an awful human being.
Yeah, I'm sure she is.
Listen.
But she's smashing OnlyFans records out there on this Easter Sunday. Bad Baby. Good for her. Now to the one that made me laugh all weekend. Paul Pierce. If you didn't catch Paul Pierce and why he was trending on Saturday morning, go Twitter search or Google search, my man, and see what he was up to on Friday night. I awoke to his name trending Saturday morning and went, huh, what was his name? The answer? Or no, the truth, right?
No, the answer was Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
The truth.
He was the truth. I'm going, why is the truth trending? And I click on it, and the first thing I see is a girl in a thong twerking over his shoulder, and it's a picture. And my man looks like he's had a 12-pack to the face and a couple blunts. And he's got this girl twerking over his shoulder.
Gone.
And I went, oh, that looks Photoshopped. That's weird. Why is somebody doing this? Then I scroll down a couple more.
Then you saw the video.
And then I see his own Paul Pierce Instagram account, live video from Friday night. I don't know if they were at a house or like a rented out area. It was a big room with tall ceilings. And my man's doing selfie videos. They probably had, what, 8 to 10, I assume, stripper masseuses there?
I counted 4 different girls.
4? Okay.
But there could have been, listen, you only got half the room.
Yeah.
There was another, he was sitting at a table, one of the long tables, so there was another side. And there were people looking at that other side.
He was smoking blunts in the video, getting massaged. He was telling a girl named Monica to come through if she was in the L.A. area.
He told me she did. I didn't know
she came
through.
To come get that money, and later in the video, Monica came through.
So the question
is, Paul Pierce, what are you doing?
So let me ask you. What he did, I'm guessing, may not be illegal.
No, not in California. It's legal, the weed, so the blunt was fine. And look, getting a massage from a exotic dancer isn't illegal.
So, but he works for
Mickey Mouse.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get to. So
I don't think he gives one flying F about his job.
I think you're right. He's terrible at it, too, by the way.
He's not good, no.
Like, if we're being real,
he's not good.
He is awful at his job. Remember that video that came out probably 2 months ago that had no strippers in it? It was On the Jump. And as Rachel Nichols, she asked a question. Kendrick Perkins responded.
Who I kind of find entertaining.
And then it was Paul Pierce's turn to talk, and there was like 10 seconds of silence, and he goes, yeah. And that was his answer.
He's not good at his job. And he sent the bat signal out that he does not value his job this weekend because, look.
He then tweeted last night.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Which is really funny.
And this wasn't an I got hacked.
No.
No. This wasn't I took the video and then somebody posted it. No, this was live.
You've been, like, he's at a level of not giving Fs that I can't ever fathom. Like, you've been to a bachelor party. Like, pretty much the rule is put your bleeping cell phone away.
Yeah.
And he's just out there broadcasting it live for the world to see. He was living his best life on Friday night. It'll be interesting to see what ESPN,
what Disney
decides to do I would be surprised if he kept his job because he's not good at it in the first place. But well, like you said,
one, right? Like he's not
everything was legal that he was doing, so it's just not a good look for ESPN.
Right, and that could be, hey, listen, we'll pay you out the rest of your contract, but we can't have you on TV anymore,
the
man.
The truth at a wild Friday night.
Unbelievable.
Next one, did you catch the Space Jam trailer that was released this weekend?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It looks like it's going to be a fun movie.
You think so?
Yes. It's Ryan Coogler directing it, who is a very talented young director, producer in Hollywood. The fact that he's behind it gives me some hope for it.
Okay.
I watched the trailer, and my first thought was, that looks fun. I'll watch that with my daughter.
Can I say something? Because I saw a lot of, this looks terrible.
No, I didn't get that feeling
okay.
at all.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
What do you do or don't? It's a kid's movie! I think they're
right.
So, Space Jam 1.
Was awesome.
And
it's not like a good movie. It was just fun.
Right. Like, if you watched it now, you'd go,
I think they underutilized Bill Murray, if we're being honest.
But that movie came out March 11th, 1997. So I was 3 going on 4. Like, I wasn't turning 4 till December, right? I loved it. Why? I was a toddler. The Looney Tunes were on there.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan didn't even matter to me at that point.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, look, it's Daffy Duck, right? It's the same thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about my daughter.
Movie.
I'm going,
yes.
She's not going to know who LeBron James
no.
is, but she'll have a blast looking at all these Looney Tunes.
And I see all these people complaining that Lola Bunny's not hot enough, you freaks. Like, let's relax here. It's a kid's movie.
Hey, anime porn is a big industry.
I know it is. I'm not kink-shaming here.
Yeah.
I'm saying, don't tell me that the movie's going to be bad because Lola Bunny's not hot enough for you.
It's ridiculous anymore, isn't it?
But, like, okay, I watched the trailer and I went,
it's going to be fun.
I'm not going to see it in theaters. I'll wait until it comes out, and I'll put it on one day.
Yeah, I had a lot of people tweeting me, like, I agree, this world needs a little fun right now. This does seem fun. One guy, Locke, that I tweet with a lot, said, my 8-year-old is so pumped to see this.
Good! But I saw people, wow, this looks terrible. You're a grown man. You're 45. I don't care that you don't think it's good.
You're right.
You probably didn't like Space Jam 1 because you were an adult then, too.
You are right.
Relax.
I think it looks
all
fun.
Of you.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Like, does it look hokey? Yeah, but you know what was probably hokey? Space Jam 1.
Yeah, and LeBron.
Everybody get up. We got a real jam going down.
People were giving LeBron crap for his roster because he picked, like, it was like Iron Giant, King Kong. He picked, like, an all-star start 5 with them. And people were like, see, LeBron can't even win a title without help.
Well, see, that's one thing. I didn't know Iron Giant was a Looney Tune.
I didn't either. It came out a while ago. I think like 18 years ago. I never saw it, so I don't know much about Iron Giant.
Yeah, I saw it once. Speaking of Iron Giant, are you have any more? Or you
know? Just one more, that Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy this week and next, I believe.
I think we're making too much of that.
Does he make you want to tune in? Because you're not a Jeopardy viewer, are you?
Do you know my IQ? No, I'll watch whatever they post on Twitter.
So he's
but I
not
think there's a lot of people that are saying, oh my God, look, he's getting ready to retire.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
No, he's probably getting paid handsomely.
Yeah, and he's
2 weeks in the offseason.
He's been a contestant in the past when they do the celebrity stuff.
Oh, has he?
He's a big Jeopardy fan.
Okay.
I think it's going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
I think I know he seems dry at times, but whenever he does these, like, Pat McAfee shows and all that,
he's fun.
He's funny.
Yeah.
So I think that's good.
I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah,
and that's it for me, Andrew.
Molly Dalton tweets in, by the way.
What do you say, Molly?
She LOLs at you trying to pronounce Bad Baby. But
I did butcher that one.
This is true. She says she's shocked that I know how to pronounce it because
yeah, you're a boomer.
I don't know anything.
You're the 26-year-old boomer.
Yeah.
But bad bod body. Bad baby.
Bod Bobby. Come on,
catch
man.
Me outside. How about that?
All right, so I got a random sports injury thing that we're going to discuss on the other side.
No more Bad Baby?
No more Bad Baby. No, we're done with Bad Baby. And if you paid for
that, $1 million.
If you pay for that,
please call up. If somebody out there listening, paid
you can go
for
fake name, but I just need to know why. There are other avenues, is all I'm saying. But you know what I'm saying. I just don't want to say it on Easter Sunday when damn Seductive Sunday's trending right now in the United States.
I've been texted some funny Easter memes already.
Oh, God. 610-632-0975. Your Phillies bullpen so far from Skaversky? No emojis.
No emojis?
0 earned runs, 5 1/3 innings, 8 Ks, 1 hit.
Wow.
That's pretty damn good. He's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Great job on the Weekend News Dump. We're taking you till noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.